Hello, and welcome to Right Now with Ralph Martin, a podcast where author, speaker, and worldwide renewal leader, Dr. Ralph Martin, shares what the Holy Spirit is stirring up in the church right now. Words of encouragement from the Lord to strengthen you for such a time as this. We are glad you can be with us this week as we seek to encourage you for this moment in history. And now, your host, Ralph Martin.
One of my special friends and special people, Sister Ann Shields, is going to be with us today. She's going to be talking with us about bringing some light into our life and exposing the core of our life to the light of God and to His Word. And I'm looking forward to hearing what Sister Ann has to say and then talking with her about it afterwards. Welcome, Sister Ann.
Thank you very much, Ralph. Brothers and sisters, I want to speak to you today for a few moments about an examination of conscience. It's a topic that sometimes we shy away from. It's a topic that we don't want to look at too deeply because some of our sins seem glaring, and we don't pay attention sometimes to the more hidden things that are very, very important, somewhat hidden. Some of them are obvious. The first thing I want to talk about, apart from the Ten Commandments, Ten Commandments are essential. Looking through the Catechism and reading through the Ten Commandments is one wonderful way to examine your conscience. But I want to speak a little more personally in this way. Let's look at it from the point of view of our thoughts, our words, and our actions. As I've read Scripture and pondered what Scripture tells us about how our thoughts and our words and our actions should be in accord with God's will, I've been deeply convicted. I've been very, very challenged. Not guilt-ridden, not bent down and burdened by it, but just convicted, letting the light of God come into my own heart. So what I want to do is just share with you some of the reflections that I've had in the hope that they will help you. The first one are our thoughts. You know the passage from Isaiah 55, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And we can say, well, I know that, but I don't know how to change. How can I have the thoughts that God would have? Paul tells us very clearly in Philippians 4, chapter 8, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." Scripture also tells us in Hebrews chapter 4, "For the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you, look at these passages. Isaiah 55, chapter verse 8, Philippians chapter 4. Verse 8, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Look at those passages and just simply say to the Lord, "Lord, let your light shine upon me and upon the way I think. Come, Holy Spirit, and help me to think about people and about situations and about things today in a way that would be pleasing to you. Help me, and the Lord will help you." The second are our words. And oh my goodness, what a challenge we have with the words we say, the things that come out of our mouth before we've even, in a way, we feel like they bypassed our brain. Well, the Lord wants to have authority over that too. You see, He wants us to truly be a temple of His Spirit, that we praise Him not just by the external things, but by our thoughts. And you know, it's the thought that precedes the word that comes out of our mouths. So as our mind comes under more and more control by the Lord, so will our words. We read in James chapter 3, verse 3, if we put bits into the mouths of horses that they may obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. And so the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. And then James goes on to say, and the tongue is a fire, setting in an unrighteous world among our members, staining the whole body. He says, with it, with our tongue, we bless the Father, and with it we curse men who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth, he says, come blessing and cursing. My brethren, this ought not to be so. This ought not to be so. Brothers and sisters, we really can put a guard over our mouths if we ask the Lord. And if we begin to think as the Lord directs, and remember, if the Lord calls us to this, he gives us the power through his word to change. Lord, put a guard over my mind. Lord, put a guard over the door of my lips. Put a guard over me that my thoughts and that my words may really reflect you. Doesn't mean we can't become angry. There's righteous anger, righteous indignation. But our words touch other people, brothers and sisters. They change other people. They affect them deeply. And so we need to ask the Lord to put a guard over the door of our lips. And finally, our actions. Oh my goodness. Do you know that there's a study been done that people communicate by body language something like 70% of what they want to communicate? They communicate by body language the first time they say something to someone. You can be saying all the right words and your body language can be communicating a whole other point. So it's not just our external actions and our work or in teaching or whatever. It's where do those actions spring from? What's my genuine intention? Do my thoughts, my words, my actions, do they have a unity to them? Do they glorify God? Do they honor him? Do they show respect for other people? Even when we've got to correct somebody, even when someone has done something unjust, and we need to speak out about that or act about that, do we, in our thoughts and our words and our actions, reflect the respect that we have for the inherent dignity of another person? See, John Paul told us that the light of Christ could really reflect through us, that those who see us could, in fact, experience the presence of the Lord, even if they couldn't identify it right away. But there needs to be a unity between our thoughts and our words and our actions. God can do that for us. You know, so often I hear people say, this is just how I am. I just can't be any different. I'm too much this or too much that, but oh well, that's just the way I am. But we really can change in accord with our personalities, in accord with who we are. We honestly can change. Proverbs 13, verse 16 says, in everything, a prudent man acts with knowledge. Now, what does that mean? He acts with the knowledge of who he is. He acts with the knowledge of to whom he belongs. He acts with the knowledge of what he's called to be in this world, a temple of God, a temple of the living Spirit of God. He acts with knowledge, and he acts with the knowledge that he has been bought with a price. And the price has been the death of Jesus Christ. You see, when we know who we are, and that's why this is so important, Proverbs 13:16, in everything, a prudent man acts with knowledge. The world tries to destroy who we really are. The world tries to tell us that we need to follow whatever the world communicates, whatever the latest commercial is on television. We need to be more this or less that or have this or whatever the case may be. You know the experience. But that's not who we are. We are a temple of the living God. We are a son of God. We are a daughter of God. And God wants that genuine truth, living truth, to be reflected through us. Brothers and sisters, there's so much that God wants to do for us if we give over, especially our minds. Give over our minds, give over our speech, give over the use of our bodies, day in and day out to the living God. So how do we do that? How is it that whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. How do we do that? Well, first of all, every morning we should offer our mind and our heart, our bodies, our spirits to the Lord. And all the work that we're about to do that day, offer it to the Lord. And say, Lord, I want you to rule and reign over me today. Be Lord of my life today. And particularly, Lord, be Lord over my mind. And secondly, Lord, please put a guard over the door of my lips, that I might honor you by everything I say today, by everything I think today. And Lord, let that mind that you've given me and let that heart that you've given me motivate me today so that as people would see me, they will see you. Brothers and sisters, these simple things have helped to change my life, have helped to put me in the right direction, very practical ways, day in and day out. And you know what? The ordinary things of speaking and acting, of our thoughts, those ordinary things given over to the Lord genuinely make us holy. They genuinely will change us more and more into the image and likeness of God. And isn't that what we want? What use will our life be if all we have at the end of it is this earthly accomplishment or that earthly achievement? What we want is to live our lives in such a way that they will bear the fruit of eternal life forever. And honestly, I just have to say, giving your thoughts and your words and your actions to the Lord each day and asking him, conform me, change me, I guarantee you, you will experience the grace of God, and you will experience change.
What you're really talking about, Sister Anne, was holiness, wasn't it? The process by which the Lord brings us into harmony with his will and into union with him. And, you know, you used a term there that I think some people may not be familiar with, the whole term examination of conscience. It's, you know, from the spiritual tradition of the church, but could you just explain a little bit more what you mean by examination of conscience?
Well, it's a way, Ralph, of taking a look, like turning the microscope, so to speak, in on our lives and saying, how does my life really reflect what I say I am and who I say I am? For example, I say that I'm Catholic. Well, what does it mean to be Catholic? It means in this area, it certainly means to follow the Ten Commandments. And I encounter so many people today who don't even, they can't recite them, let alone know what they contain. And so I've always encouraged people to read the Catechism on the Ten Commandments. It's very clear mm-hmm. and very helpful. And then it's just looking at my life mm-hmm. in the light of God yeah. and saying, if God were to call me to himself now, mm-hmm. what would I wish I hadn't done? What would I be yeah. ashamed of? What pattern or habits of behavior would I do that I wouldn't be happy standing before yeah. the Lord with those things and then going about them, but always one by one. Sometimes people say, oh, I'm going to change my life, you know, and I'm yeah. going to go after yeah. everything. And yeah. after about 3 days, you're exhausted yeah. from doing that. Yeah. So we have to start with one area, yeah. one of the commandments, or as I looked at it today, our thoughts, words, and actions. But the church has always encouraged us to examine our lives in the light of God,
yeah.
to ask his mercy and to ask for the grace to change
yeah.
one area by an area.
Yeah.
And it is what leads to holiness.
Yeah. And what you're really saying is that like in the commandments, God is revealing to us how human beings are to live. Like
That's
he says, this is how I want people to live.
Because it leads to life.
Yeah. Yeah. This is what you were created to live. This is what leads to happiness.
That's
this is
right.
how things work right. And so take a look at your life in light of God's plan for human life and where you're falling short, you know, bring that area to the Lord.
Yes, because our pride always has a better idea. Mm-hmm. You know, I could do it. Yes, Lord, that's a good goal, but let me go about it this way. And
yeah.
God is really holding out a path, a very straight path. It's a narrow path, mm-hmm. but it's a very straight path that
yeah.
leads to life.
I think, you know, something you just said there is important too, is that can't make a change in every area of your life
no.
all at once and basically take maybe one area or two areas or something like that that you want to kind of focus on for a while and bring that to the Lord. And usually those areas will become apparent, won't they, through you know, the other people giving you feedback.
That's right.
saying, you know, this or that. And, you know, there's just an area that will just come to your attention as
right. You've got
sticking out more like the sore thumb type
exactly.
of thing.
Exactly. You've yeah. got quite a temper or,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
something of that nature. Or don't you think that you ought to change the way you relate to this person
yeah.
or that person?
Yeah. Or you seem to be impatient.
Right.
Or, boy, you're making negative remarks all the time. You get some feedback and it begins to dawn on you that there's a pattern there that really isn't
right.
good. And then kind of asking the Lord for help in that particular area and reviewing that area each
That's
day.
That's right. Yeah. And the person who's brought that to us, you know, sometimes they're just so angry. Who do they think they are?
Yeah.
You know, they're guilty of this and this and
yeah.
this. That's our natural reaction. But if we can just say, Lord, you've used this person
yeah.
as a servant to me because you love me and you
yeah.
want me to be like you. And
yeah.
if we can, you know, stamp on the pride, just
yeah.
put it down and just say, is there truth here?
Yeah.
Is what this person's saying to me something I honestly
yeah.
should pay attention to? I might not want to,
yeah.
but should I?
Yeah.
And then asking God for the grace because God always wants to give it.
Yeah. Yeah. He says, when you pray according to my will, you know it will be granted. We know his will is that we not sin. We know his will. His will is that we speak truthfully and patiently and lovingly and
That's right.
think that way. And so it's a safe bet to pray for help in these areas.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, the Lord knew he really is a father to us.
Yeah.
He really is a shepherd to us. And he has our best good in mind. That's, I think, one of the things we forget.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have my idea of what would be good for me, but God has my best good
Yeah, he's
in
not
mind.
Trying to make our life miserable by helping us become aware of our faults. He's trying
exactly.
to show us how we can reach a higher level of peace and happiness. And
yes.
Yeah, joy. And certainly our first tendency when somebody brings a fault to our attention is defensive. We react, we defend, we justify, we explain away. But then I like to think of the story where Jesus tells in the gospel, he says, you know, which of these two did what the Father wants? The one who says, oh, yes, Father, I'll do it, but doesn't do it.
Yes.
Or the one who says, no, I won't, but then goes ahead and do it. I think sometimes people, after their initial defensiveness or reaction, you know, maybe go back and think about it, and hopefully the grace will be there to say, you know, hey, I didn't like to hear that, but there's something there and I really need to accept it. I really need to humble myself. And I really need to accept that this person, even though they didn't say it the right way and even though there's other reasons why I don't want to
yeah.
accept it from them, that there's something there that I need to humbly open up to God and ask for his help on.
Exactly. And when you do, One of the things, Ralph, that I think has helped me a lot is that when you do say, all right, however it came and whatever I think of this person, I need to pay attention to this. There is such, the only way I can describe it is a sweetness and a peace that comes with the Lord's presence. It's like he draws you to himself and almost, though he certainly doesn't have to, almost thanks us for opening ourselves up to his word. And then he draws very near and he walks with us. Mm-hmm. And the very things that have bothered us, that have probably caused us to be angry or hurtful toward other people, the kind of peace or joy that comes from his presence. It's not from external circumstances, but it really does come. And then you want to run on that way. You want more, show me more, because you know a kind of intimacy with God that the world sure can't give.
Yeah. Now, one thing that we experience, and some people experience it very strongly, is just complete discouragement, almost despair about being able to change.
Yes.
You know, they say, well, yes, I know this is a fault, and I've asked the Lord to take it away, and I want to take it away, but I keep doing it, and I feel helpless. I don't feel like I can change. What would you say to people? Because I think discouragement and despair about being able to change is what blocks a lot of people.
You know, Ralph, I think the biggest thing that we need to do first is acknowledge I can't change. I honestly am incapable. I'll have the best intentions in the world, and I might do it right once or twice, but then I fall again. And that's where the discouragement comes to say, well, God doesn't want me to be a saint, or I can't be holy. But it's to say, Lord, I am nothing, and I have nothing apart from you. It's that willingness to bow down. That's what the Lord, he draws so near to the humble.
Those are the poor in spirit, basically admit our spiritual poverty.
Exactly.
So then we can qualify for divine welfare.
Exactly.
We admit we're below the poverty line. Right? We need help.
We
need a handout.
Right. Because the flesh always turns toward self. It just does. The flesh always wants to take care of myself and protect myself, defend myself. And when we see an area that needs to change, it's hard to say to the Lord, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. And I may have tried, and God will bless all my good intentions. But what he's saying, in effect, I think, Ralph, is just come here to me. Mm-hmm. Just draw near to me. Don't try at the moment. Just open your heart to me. And let me work. And I think, as I was saying a few minutes ago, if every morning we say, Lord, I give this to you, help me today, even though I've fallen 65 times, you know, every time I ask you, I fall, but I give it to you again, and then just rest there, he will do it.
And there is a mystery to timing, isn't
there? Yes, there is.
And even if the Lord doesn't help us right away to make the change, he may delay sometimes in answering a prayer. He may allow a fault to persist for a period of time just to teach us a deeper level of humility.
Right.
Because if it cleared up too quickly, there'd be a temptation to attribute it to our own good judgment or strength of will or something like that. So sometimes the Lord does permit these troubling faults and weaknesses to persist to lead us into a deeper state of humility and dependency. And so I keep thinking of St. Therese, who never got discouraged at her faults, but always saw them as an opportunity for
mercy,
depending more on God's mercy. And I just find that so helpful, that even if something persists and doesn't go away right away, just to humbly and trustingly and hopefully, just trusting the Lord about the timing and doing everything we can to receive the grace that comes. But knowing that sometimes the Lord permits a weakness or a fault to persist, not that we would become complacent with it, but that we would become even more dependent and even more hopeful and even more looking to God's mercy.
That's right. I mean, St. Paul says it so clearly. You know, three times he asked the Lord for something to be taken from him. Mm-hmm. Lord left it there just so he would depend on the Lord. As long as he did that, well, you know what happened to St. Paul. God really blessed him.
And God's power stands out even more clearly. It gives more glory to him in our weakness.
That's right.
Thank you so much, Sister Anna, for being with us today and sharing this important area that we all need to keep helping each other on. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You know, this is an area that that's just so important. And I just like to encourage you in terms of one decision that you can make today is just to say, Lord, I've despaired about this fault. I've given up on it. I've told myself this is me and I can't change and people are just going to have to accept me as I am. I just like to encourage you to kind of throw your nets out again and open up this area to the Lord and say, Lord, hey, I don't think I can really change this area, but I really want to offer it to you again. I want to humbly repent and I want to just depend on your mercy and humility and poverty of spirit and just open this area to you again and ask you to help me. And I think the Lord would be very pleased if you did that today and just kind of reopen those areas that you've been despairing about or being discouraged about or stubbornly resisting and just let the Lord touch them again and just patiently and humbly wait upon the Lord. He'll give you the strength and he'll give you the grace to really make progress in union with him.
This podcast is brought to you by Renewal Ministries, part of the Renewal Podcast Network. If you are enjoying this podcast, we invite you to help us spread the word by leaving us a rating or review, following or subscribing to this podcast, or sharing on social media. Until next time, this is Right Now with Ralph Martin.